Thank you, brother. This is the treat. That's why you always got to be prepared. Be ready. Because you just never know when a text comes in during the night. So just bear with me for a second. Let me get this going. I don't say how much is a privilege and an honor to even be here today and to even come and speak his word. Let me see if I can connect. Well, y'all can follow along with me here. I'm not sure if I'm on the right one. Huh? You see me back there, pal? Unless I'm able to connect. Okay, it's showing this. And if not, we ain't gonna burn too much time on it. Okay. All right, well, oh, there we go. We're up and rolling. All right. Well, Shabbat Shalom. I'm good to be here today. Good to see everybody here. You know, let me tell you, this is the nervous part. Because let me tell you, you never know when you get called upon, but this is what we're being groomed for. But before I get started, you know, I was just meditating this morning, the word, you know, this morning, even though I've been going through it all during the week. But just, you know, when you get some little side readings, and y'all just remind you sometime, you know, who you are, where you come from. So before I get started right here, let me just read a little something addressed that Shaul wrote. And especially for us, the ministers, and for y'all too, because at some point in time, we're all ministers. But I want to read you something in the book of Romans, the first chapter. In Romans chapter 1, this is the greeting. It says, Shaul, a servant of Yeshua Messiah. He could have put a period right there. And that's who we all are. We're all servants of his. He says, and a called emissary. I didn't choose this spot. I can tell you. When me and my wife, we went to the office up there with everybody, we just knew it was Brother Robin Hill. Little bit, oh, yeah, he said, y'all too. And I was, he talking about, okay, let me pause on this for a second. This is a giant step. But you know, but look, when you're groomed for that, you know, it's like a young captain. When he gets his license for the first time, you're not no super captain. You're still in training. You're learning. The ink never, how do old people say, the ink never dry on your license yet. Don't ever be super cap. Learn. Especially learn from those who's well seasoned. So this is what, you know, I just want to share. You know, Shaul, we're in this spot. I had to learn how to do all this. This ain't just popped in here today, but let me tell you that I should have been preparing all week, because you just never know, like last night. He said, a called emissary separated to the good news of Elohim, which he promised before through his prophets in the set-apart scriptures. Now, we're going to go through set-apart scriptures in a little bit. But you think Shaul knew about Yosef and all? I guarantee he knew it. He said, a set-apart scripture concerning his son, whom came from the seed of David according to the flesh, who was designated son of Elohim with power, according to the set-apart spirit, by the resurrection from the dead, Yeshua Messiah, the master of us. I love that. To whom we have received favor and office of the emissaries for belief, obedience among all the nations on behalf of his name. Among whom you also are the called one of Yeshua Messiah. You also. Not just me doing the speaker, not just Brother Chad or Brother Rob or my brother Josh or Pastor. We're not the only ones. You yourselves, y'all speakers. You might not be licensed like we are. Or you might not hold this position, but I'm going to tell you, when you get outside these doors, you're an emissary. Don't forget that. To whom we are in Rome, beloved of Elohim, called set apart ones, favor to you and peace from Elohim our Father, and the Master Yeshua Messiah. Peace to you all. Shalom, we're just saying it, because we all need it. So I just thought this was a great opener for Paul. And I just wanted to use that to let you know that, look, we're all in this together. This is not a one-man show. He said, look, because anybody, hey, look, he could have texted Brother Ryan, he could have texted Brother Chad. I just had a little conversation last night telling him, man, there's just these last four verses in 47, it's beautiful. He said, well, you get your chance. I should have caught on it last night. But it, I said, well, yeah, I'm thinking next week, and I'm not thinking he's not going to be here today, which he was. So anyway, but you just never know. Y'all knows, though. But it's up to you and I to always be prepared. Do a self-check before you walk outside the door. Whatever profession you hold, do a self-check. Go look in the mirror. Amen. And there you go. So now let's go back to our Torah portion. Let's go back to 47. I just wanted to share that opening with you. I thought it was so beautiful the way Shaul writes his letters. Anyway, the way he starts. So, amen. In Bereshit, in 47, and we're in Vayahi. It starts in verse 28. It's the bookend. Last week, if you were here last week, and especially in Midrash, he talked about the bookend, about how 17 is such a big number in the script. We just never seen it, but until it's revealed to us. So we have to be taught. It's Hebrew for "and he lived." Who are we talking about? We're talking about Yaakov. 17 years that he lost in the beginning with his son. Let me rephrase that. He had him for 17 years, then he lost him for 13 years. Until finally, we made the connection, we all went through all this, and now this is the last 17 years of Yaakov's life. That's not long. So let me move on, because boy, that's so much in here that's it's welling up. He said that Yaakov lived in the land of Mitzrayim 17 years. Notice they don't say he sojourned in there. Scripture says he lived there. Now the scripture says we're pilgrim and sojourners, but right here he's living. His best life, the last life, he's up in age, and he's living his best life. He's 130 years old, and he's living his best life. So the length of Yaakov's life was 147 years. Now, I just added this in here this morning, because we're talking about life. From death to life, from wrong to right. We sang that song, it was so beautiful, it matches perfect. Because when we look at the word life right here, it's Hayah. Let me tell you something. When you're dealing with Yah and life, I can't explain it to you. I can only tell you what the scripture says. It's up to you and I to experience him for ourselves. But this is a very big subject. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on it. I just want to point it out. Its prime root is to live. Who don't want to live? No, when I get up in age, if I get that high like some of the gray-headed ones in here, I want to live that much longer. I don't want to stop. I don't want to put myself on a number. But it's life. Because of one man's sin, death entered into the world, and sin by death. And it comes. So it comes to us all. But look, I tell everybody, I want to live to be old. I want to live to where I can go to Walmart and get my little buggy and ride around the store. I want to live long enough to get my parking spot, They put that little tag on your windshield and get parked in the front of the store. I want to live. I want my little benefits. Let me tell you, growing old is a good thing. It might come with complications, but growing old is a good thing. And my uncle always told me, he said, my little boy, it's better to grow old than to die young. I said, you're right, uncle. I can't wait for my turn. So, just letting y'all know, I want to live. It's about life. And look, we got brand new lives in here. Babies. He didn't tell who we're going to bring them in. He's bringing a fresh new crop. That's what's so beautiful about Yah. And when Yah starts, he starts from the beginning. And where we go back, what we talk, go back to the beginning. Because that's where life started. That's where life started. In the beginning. And Yah said, to live, have life, remain alive, sustain life, live prosperously, live forever. Who don't want to live forever? That's a sweet deal. Be quickened, be alive. Like I said, but it comes with complications. Be restored to life or health, from death to life. Boy, I tell you, you can go on for hours with this subject. And this is one I touched on a while back in ancient Hebrew. It's alive and stomach. When the stomach is empty, I don't know about y'all, but me, let me tell you, I'm a coffee guy early in the morning. And after I drink two, maybe three cups, depending on how I'm feeling, I need something to eat. Because if not, I get famished, I get the jitters. And if you know what I'm talking, so you got to have something. So your stomach is on empty. And so you need something to revive you. So this is what that's pertaining to, how life in the stomach. And also, where does life begin for a woman? Here, in the stomach, in the navel. It's where it all begins, in the organs. So it's the H and the V, and it's substance, life, and it's live. The revival of life from food or other necessity. Is there other necessity out there that you can thrive on? You better believe it, because Moshe was in the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. He was thriving. Yeshua went 40 days and 40 nights. He was thriving. Why? He had this other necessity. Boy, we can get to that. This is what we preach at every Shabbat. We want this extended life that only comes through Him. Boy, this goes on. Let me move on from that, because when you start talking about life, it's no simple subject. You can go 2-3 hours on just that one topic. Because when you hit the little strong number, hey, you know what it connects to? The one you breathe when you breath in the moment. That's the life-giving that's in you. It's built in your DNA. And you say you don't know Hebrew. Just breathe hard enough, you hear it. Let's look at this. Let's look at this. The Hebrew gematria. Today's going to be fun. I got a little surprise for y'all here. In the Hebrew gematria, 147. Now, some of y'all, if you don't know what the Hebrew gematria is, it's the number that you can check the Hebrew letters to make sure you got the right number, the right Messiah. Now, we don't do the whole gematria a whole lot, but it didn't have me diving into it last week after talking about 17. So I want to break down this 147. Let's see how beautiful this is. It's the Kuf. The Kuf is the number 100 for Kuf. It's what is final. What is behind, last, least, final, future. Just because death might be the final here on earth, it's not the end. It's all life. That's just the beginning. I shared that to a buddy of mine just yesterday. You think death, he said, if I live to 70 years old, I'm good, cousin. You can stop at 70 all you want. Don't drag me in your affairs. If I can go 75, I want 75. Don't stop me at 70. I said, I want to live. So the Kuf, but when you look at the picture graph, it's the sun. You see the sun halfway on top and halfway under the water. It's like the horizon. You see when fishermen, when you're out there, you see the sun come up for the first time. Brand new start of the day. Man, it's so beautiful. And sometimes you get them nice, beautiful morning. If you're out there on the porch drinking coffee, you see that sunrise. This is what the Kuf is. Yeah. So the number is 100. The Mem is the 40. It's water. And it's chaos, it's disorder, strength, mighty, Messiah. What does 40 do with Messiah? I just gave you a clue a little while ago. He went 40 days. You think he wasn't rough? You think he wasn't chaotic? You try to go 40 days without eating. Go 4 days. 40 days. That's a challenge. You really got to be tapped in to do this 40-day fast. It's a challenge. Now, you can fast certain things, but he said he fast from no food, no water. Big difference. And the Zion is the cutting tool. It means to cut, pierce. It looks like a weapon. It almost looks like a sled, kind of almost, if you look at it in the Hebrew letter. So it's really beautiful, I guess, however they use it. You know, when they're plowing, I'm sure it was a plowing tool. I just don't know how to use it. I guess we have to Google, call AI. But anyway, it's cut, pierce, or weapon. When you take 147, this is what I got out of it. And now I'm doing my studies. When I look at 140, when you put it all together, it means cutting through life's chaos in a moment of time. That's all we have, is a moment of time. Let me tell you, and sometimes it's going to be chaotic. Sometimes it's going to be rough. But you hang in there. And sometimes it's going to go really smooth. You know, when you go to cemetery, you see that little dash on the cemetery? That is your life. It ain't much. It ain't long. And I was thinking about it, how sometimes, you know, when they hook you up the machines, how they check your heartbeat and they pump up and down. And they can watch this. So they have all these technology about life. But what if that little light boom boom was on your grave tomb? And then when you hit the flat line, you pass through the chaos. Man, I think about all these little things, that analogies that we can use. But, you know, we're cutting through life in a moment of time, through the chaos in life. Because it's very chaotic out there. It's not all peaches and cream. It's great here. That's why we should take every advantage we get. Because when the flood does come, because I'm going to show you what the master said. Don't take my word. Show you what the master says. Yeah. We got to take him at his word. Today I'm just the emissary. The emissary in the Greek is the one who gives the message. He's the messenger. Let me tell you. So let's see what the master says. Because we truly, in the time in which we live, we got to pay attention to his word. Because his words matter. And look what he warns us right here in John 16:1. The the words I've spoken to you so that you do not stumble. Right off the back. He gave us a warning right off the back. What words? What do you think he's talking about? The words we were just talking about in the beginning. Because what was told last week in Luke, we were told it was on the road to Emmaus. And he said, you got to go back to the scriptures. You got to go back to what Moshe wrote. You got to go back to what the Psalms, and the Netavim, and the Ketavim, and the writings. We got to go back to these things. We got to go back to the prophets. This is what Yeshua was talking about. So when the time comes, so you don't do what? Stumble. He said, they shall put you out of the congregations. But an hour is coming, just a moment. I don't know when it's going to be. He said, but an hour is coming when everyone who kills you think he's rendering service to Elohim. He said, brother, that ain't happening over here. It's happening out there already, overseas. It's happening here. You just don't hear about it. Newsflash. And this they shall do to you because they do not know the Father nor me. We have to know the Father. He's pointing his whole message directed to the Father. So what we see in our model, we see a father figure, the Pharaoh playing as the father. We see Yosef as the son. We have our model. So that's why we're going back. We're referencing him because we're going back to our model. He said, but I have said these words to you so that when the hour comes, you remember that I told them to you. I'm just telling you what he's saying. Now, you got to take that with a grain of salt. You might not like his words. You might not like the way I'm saying it. This is exactly what he's saying. I'm not trying to stumble you or make you stumble. I'm just telling you what he says. When the hour comes, when that moment of time comes, we got to be prepared. Just like I had to be prepared last night. This was something I was wrestling with all week. I said, man, I even said to myself, boy, if I had Friday night, boy. By you, Brother Chad had. That's what I thought about. If I had Friday night, this be my message for Friday night. You know where you get your chance. Oh, boy. He said something very important last week. He said that in Habakkuk 2:2, to do what? Write the vision down. You got to write it and make it plain so that he who hears it runs with it. They understand they're going to run with it. So, man, I listened. And the 2 days I wrestled with that. So, finally, I think it was Wednesday, I opened up my tablet, I got me a fresh page on there, and I started writing the vision down. And my very first thing I wrote a vision was the teacher's word, and here I am this morning. So what you ask for is what he wants for you. That's the very thing, I can show you on my page, the very thing I said, the teacher's word. You know, be able to teach it, you know, not just here, but everywhere I get a chance. And here I am today. Amen. So it goes to show you, this stuff works. Boy, in these words, I did not say to you at the beginning, for I was with you. Now, he's letting them know that something's about to happen in his life. Because you remember, Yeshua comes on the scene at the age of 30. We read about him a little bit in his younger years, but as a gap, as a moment of time, we don't hear about him. At the age of 30, he comes on the scene. And you know how you know that lasts from the age of 30 to 33 and a half, 34? That's it. His life was taken. Short lifespan. Why? For the gospel. Are we willing to make that stand? Are we willing to hold the line? Are we willing to get up and sing? Are we willing to get up and speak, play the instruments? That's part of being on the line. He said, but now I go away to him who sent me, and not one of you asked me where you're going. That's troublesome right there. Because the master's telling them, but they're not really paying attention to what he's saying. Because their minds are distracted elsewhere. Because he just said, now what are you asking where I'm going? I just told you, I'm going away. And then you don't even ask. But because I have said these words to you, grief has filled your heart. But I say the truth to you, it is better for you that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper, what we've been singing all morning, the set apart spirit, the helper, shall not come to you at all. But if I go, I'm going to send them to you because you need them. You need them every day. When the moment you wake up, the day I lay my head, you need them. What is he coming to do? Let's see. Verse 8. And having come, he shall convict the world concerning sin and concerning righteousness and concerning judgment. So that apostle didn't have to come just to put his, prop his feet up on the couch. He has a job to do. So if he's working, our model's working, don't you think we got to be working? It says concerning sin, because they did not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Let me tell you something. I know we talk about the enemy and all what he's done, but tell you, he's already judged. That he don't get out of it. So if he don't, you know, we're not going to escape. The only way we escape the judgment, the wrath of Elohim, is to be in him. That's your only escape card. That's the only time you get that get out of jail free card that you can use it, because we have to be in him. Where is that at? In his hands. And what do you say? Because no one is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. He says, I still have many words to say to you, but you are not able to bear them now. But when he comes, the Spirit of truth, he said, he shall guide you into all the truth. How much of the truth we need? All of it. Every bit of it. Because you never know. Look, because why? Because there's some things that go on out there, and people that they'll try to trick you. They try to make you stumble. They look in the little flag. You know in football? When you do this right here, when a brother running, they call it a flag, clipping. That's a flag. Why? Because the people out there are trying to do what? They're trying to make you clip. They want to see you clip. So they watch, because they want to mock you. They want to test to see where you're at. But you got to hold. No matter how bad sometimes it looks like you're outnumbered, you hold. He said, but all it guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak from himself, but whatever he hears, he shall speak, and he shall announce to you what is to come. He shall esteem me, for he shall take of what is mine and announce it to you. All that the Father has is mine, and what I said that he takes from what is mine and announce it to you. One thing about Yeshua, he ain't greedy. He wants to share what he has. And what does he have? Everlasting life. He wants to give it. He said, in the last day, I'll raise you up. He said, I have the power to give it to whoever I wish. He has that authority. But that's some requirements for us. One of his requirements is today. To be here, to gather. Because this is what he said for us to do. Now, sometimes, don't get me wrong, you're going to have situations going to arise. We get that. But you're still over there working. And I can guarantee you, they still be in the light going where they're going. So wherever you go, you're salt and light. You can't get out of that. Look at this. A little while. What are we talking about? Time. And you'll see a little while. We're talking about time here now. How much time you got? A little while. We might think we got a long time, but we don't. Let's see what the scripture says. A little while, and you do not see me. And again, a little while, and you shall see me. Therefore, some of his taught ones said to one another, what is this he says to us a little while? They don't understand. That part I can't understand right now is just you with the master. For the little time he was there, you were walking with him every day. You ate with him. You slept next to him. You rose when he rose. You prayed when he prayed. And you don't understand what he's saying. I can't wrap my mind around it because you're not paying attention to his words. We got to pay. So how much critical it is for us, how much valuable it is in this little bit of time we have to pay attention. We have to pay attention. If not, you'll be like the disciples right here. What are you talking about? A little while, and you do not see me. And again, a little while, and you shall see me. And because I am going to the Father. So it's a little while. I just want to show you what it is. In the Greek, it's called makron. It's singular of 3398, a small space of time or decree. That's all we got here on this earth, on this planet, whatever you want to call it. We don't have hundreds of years to live here. Time's only been short. And he said, had I not shortened the days, if you a moment I've not shortened it, no flesh would survive. But for the sake of the elect, I shorten it. I wonder who's the elect. It's you and I left. A remnant. That's all he's looking for, the remnant. Those who are going to hold, those who are going to be steadfast. Those who are not going to, even though you might sway because the wind blows, but you're unbreakable. You're going to go with the wind. Trees flutter with the wind, but some of them are unbreakable. That's how you got to, because why? He said, we got to be like trees planted by the rivers of water. We got the river right outside. Got to be planted. We got to be firm. Hey, so, hey look, because the storm is here. It's not coming. The storm is here. It's just a small little, this little while. Let me tell you, it may seem like he's been gone forever. It's just a little while. It's from 3398, micro. It's small, little. It's what we're going to get the word. If you go dig down into it, you keep micro. I remember when I was a kid, he had the little micro machine, these little cars. I loved my little cars when I was a kid. But it's it goes to show, it's all to do with just the length of time. A small time is all we have in our lifespan. We want to make it valuable. Brother Chad said this last night. Time is valuable. And look, and sometimes we play around with time a little bit because we think it's on our side. Even made that song, time is on my side. No, it ain't. No, it ain't. That's a lie. You know, but so, look, he's gonna let you allow to have fun. But you're gonna have it inside the head. You're not gonna go outside the boundaries. He wants you to enjoy life. He wants you to go on vacations. He wants you to enjoy some of the things, the finer things in life that he provided for. He's not trying to keep you in a cage and feed you bread and water. It's not what we're doing here. But we tell him, but there is a fence that we can't go beyond. Because why? You're his. You're royalty. No amen, no royalty? I thought you'd be you right, brother. All right. So they said, what is this that he says a little while? We don't know what he's saying. Can you see it? I'm wondering what the master's thinking. What do you mean you don't understand what I'm saying? I've got to go to the Father. They're not really connecting. So I wonder, sometimes are we really connecting? We really paying attention? Because I'm telling you, our life gets busy. After today, starting tomorrow, our life gets busy. So we do we lose focus on what the master said, or we stay connected to him? Yeshua therefore knew that they were wishing to ask him, and he said to them, are you asking one another about what I said a little while, and you do not see me, and again a little while, and you shall see me? Good thing the master knows. That's why you can't hide nothing from him. He sees right through. Scripture says his eyes are like flame of fire. He sees right through you. We can try to hide. We can fool one another, but you ain't fooling him. I can tell you, none of us. Truly, truly, I say to you that you shall weep and lament. Wow. But the world shall rejoice. That ain't fair. And you shall be grieved, but your grief shall become joy. Weeping may endure for the night. What comes in the morning? Joy. This is what we're lacking. We got to have joy. This is why on Wednesday night we started singing. Because what? Singing makes you what? Joyful. I got a song for y'all here in just a minute. Don't worry. Y'all going to sing. Because we got to have joy. Without joy, I'm going to tell you, go around moping. So I'm going to tell you, that time up in the radio, some little song on the radio or my on the phone, whatever. You got to have joy when you sing. It brings joy to the heart. Why? It's like a medicine, Scripture says. The woman has grief when she is in labor, but because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the affliction. For what? Joy that a man was born into the world. Or a woman. Or not all the boys. But I explained yesterday morning. I was talking in the gas station, one of the guys, it was just him and I. And he started with politics about Trump and yada, yada, yada. I was like, oh my gosh. And I said, but look, I understand it got the pros and cons. You might not like it. But I had to shift the conversation because I didn't want to talk about politics. So we shifted the conversation. We started talking about this, about joy, about how a woman, back in Bible days, how it was a joy to have a son to help take care of her. You know, dad's away doing his things. The son was there to help mom out in the home. That's what Yaakov was. Wasn't he? He was a mama's boy. We know that. He was one that dwelt in tents. He was one that sat and learned and listened. Not only to his father, to his mother. So I thought this was a great analogy because we talked, him and I. He said, man, you're right, brother. You're right. Yeah, I know. I know I'm right. Because the scripture says I'm right. I didn't tell him that, though. But in myself, I know I'm right. but y'all women can testify. Y'all in labor, y'all in pain. I seen women like that in labor and pain, but when that baby is delivered, oh my. But then here comes the testing. You know, me and my wife right now, oh boy. She said, that's a young woman's job. Well, yeah, it's a job. But as far as he knows, he's loving it. He ain't worried about age. He's not even worried about time. We look at it, what time I got to get up? Because I get up at 3 in the morning. Don't you know that bird's up at 2 o'clock? I'm like, I didn't need my alarm clock at all this week. I said, boy, he didn't get up. But for joy that a man was born into the world. And my dad, that's what I think when I see the little boy. That's a man born into the world. Even though he's a kid right now. But trust me, when them days are coming, cherish him. And again, therefore, verse 22, and you, therefore, have grief now, but shall see you again, and your heart shall rejoice. And no one takes your joy away from you. No one can take that joy from you. You can't say, well, the enemy already had a bad joy. Even king, the Christian people think king of something, they sing joy, the song joy. And I choose joy, letting they dance and let it move. King, for king and country. You know, it's a Christian man. There you go. They sing that song. I love that song. Because you look, you start out with the news reporter and the lady's fussing. You know, you got to watch the little video. Let me tell you, but it brings joy. But then you get to the end of it, she's happy as can be. Because why? Joy ends in our heart. They sing and they dance. They're having a great time in Yehovah. No one takes your joy from you. And in that day, you shall ask me none at all. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he shall give you. That's why I said that. I put my first note, I put in my paper, the teacher went, here I am. Boy, you think he was listening? That's why he wants you to write it down. He said, until now, you have asked naught in my name. Ask and you shall receive, in order that your joy might be complete. Don't you know when I was going through my stuff, I skipped this over. I just added this in yesterday. I said, I hate to break it halfway. Because I want to get to the point. But sometimes you can't, you got to read the story. Yeshua minister, bring joy to our heart. Let him talk about it. So this is what I want to get. The word that was spoken to you in figures of speech, but now an hour is coming. Hey, we go back to time. When I shall no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but I shall declare the Father plainly to you. In that day, you shall ask in my name. And I do not say to you that I shall pray the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself does love you, because you have loved me. That's a condition. That's that if-then statement. You got to love him. Because why? He's the one that loved you. How much he loved you, he gave his life for you. That ought to bring joy to every one of us. So it's a joy for me to come here today and share with you the word. It's a joy for me to come up here and when I want to sing. It's a joy for me to just come live here and lift my hand and give him praise. Because that's what you're commanded to do. And that's what brings him joy. You want joy to enter in? You want him to give you joy? Give him praise.
Hallelujah.
And have believed that I come forth from Elohim. I came forth from the Father and have come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. And see, they didn't quite catch on to this yet. But you know, there's come a time they're going to catch on. A little while, they're going to catch on. He says, the Talmud said to him, see, now you're speaking plainly and not using figures of speech. Now we know that you know all and have no need that anyone should question you. By this we believe that you came forth from Elohim. Yeshua answered them, do you now believe? He should have been believing. Because in the book of John right here, you only got a few more chapters and his life's over. We're almost, this is 16, you're toward the end of John. Just like we are here in our model with yourself. And look, newsflash, in this last part of Vayehi, not only Yaakov dies, how do you know Yosef, 110. Big difference from 147 from his father. He's down to 110. So you can see as time went on, even to where we're at now, that number has done dwindled down. See, an hour is coming and has now come that you are scattered. Boy. Each to his own. And leave me alone. Now he's talking about this time when he's about to get taken. But think about it. Think about us in today's time. Think about you right now. We're all scattered. We don't know who the house of Israel. Chapter 48 is going to tell who the house of Israel is, because he's going to tell all, Yaakov's going to prophesy to all his sons what's going to happen to them. Yep. Chapter 48 coming along. But we got to be. So they right now. So look now. Now all the body's not together. Some of us not here. Some of us is over there in COI. Some of us in Mississippi, we're scattered. The body's scattered all over. Yahweh wants to bring us together. There's going to come a time when Yeshua is going to return. And what the scripture said, the dead is going to raise when the trumpet is going to sound. And those who are alive and remain going to be caught up to do what? You're going to meet him in the air, and you're going to be gathered together with him. No longer to be separated from the master. Man, what a day that's going to be, a time when you're going to see all what you've been working for, all what you've labored for, all the time you put in and out, up and down, wishy-washy, doesn't matter. He's going to be... There's going to be a day, and you're going to say, tell to the angels, go to the four winds of the earth and gather my elect, my children. Oh boy, what a time. See, an hour is coming that you are scattered, each to his own. We don't want to be each to our own. I want to be found caught doing what he wants me to do. I don't want to be doing my own thing. And leave me alone. He said, yet I'm not alone because the Father's with me. What did he say? What was said last night? The Father, he's with you. We drove that. He drove that in last night. He's with you. Whatever you do, whatever you go, what you have, you put your hands to do. He's with you. You got to know that. He says, these words I have spoken to you, that in me you have peace. In the world you have pressure. Take courage. I have overcome the world. So what would the note say? Cutting through life's chaos in a moment of time. In the world you're going to have what? Pressure. That's what the mem is. For the chaos. Well, when it was rolling, and it was rough, and they couldn't go nowhere, and they're sinking. What they seen walking in the middle of chaos? Who's on the water? The master. Coming out to get them. That's how you tie into the mem. You want to know where it comes from? There you go. So let's look at a couple biblical examples. About little. In Matthew 26:39, it says, and going further a little, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, chaos, a moment of time, right there, that moment of time, he's asking, if it's possible, let this cup pass. He didn't want to die. He wanted to live. But what? He's given up his life for you and I. He's coming sitting in padded chairs to hear the word. And how many people fail? They bypass this verse of scripture. This scripture speaks volume. He said, let this cup pass from me, and yet not as I desire, but as you desire. If he changes mind right here, then none of us is here. I give him praise because of that. He humbled himself right there. He fell on his face. He was an example to us, if it's possible. What is option B, Father? You got option B? No, option B, son? Yeah, I got one. What is it? Option A. What about C and D? They're all the same option. It's option A. You got to die. Matthew 26, in the same chapter, 73. This is where you and I come in at. After a while, those who stood by came to him and said to Kepha, or said to Brother Rob, or said to Brother Chad, or said to Scott, or said to Alex. Put your name right there in Kepha's spot. Truly, you one of them, Sabrina, for even your speech gives you away. Oh boy. You see how this tell you. Chaos. This right here was chaotic for Peter. Because you know what happened? The manure was burning. And he was trembling. Because why? Because he knew if you opened his mouth, he said, yeah, I know him. You'll be on trial with him. Think about it. Put your name right here in Peter's spot. John 13:33. He said, little children, yet a little while, and I am with you. You shall seek me, as I said to the Yehudim. Where I am going, you are unable to come. And now I say to you, we can't go to him. I don't care what religion teaches you. I'm going to show you a little example, you know, we got coming up here. I know that religion that teaches you when you die, all this thing, fancy thing. He said, I'm going to come and get you. That's good enough words for me, knowing that he's coming back. In Revelation 22, And he sees the dragon, the serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he threw him into the pit of the deep and shut him up and set a seal on him so that he should lead the nations no more until 1,000 years were ended. And after that, he was to be released for a little while. Time, just a moment of time. That's all we have, even the enemy. He said that's 1,000 years. It's a short time. Trust me. Because why? We're controlled by time. He's not. He's outside of time. He's the one that made time. And we got so many examples to go through. We just ain't got time. Hey, now, look, if I see a two-hour card come up, a three-hour card, oh, boy, look out. But right now, I know I'm pressed for time, so I'm trying to go as fast as I can, but I want to make my point across. The time right now is valuable. Let's look at verse 29. At the time, and the time for Yisrael to die drew near. And he called his son Yosef and said to him, "Now, if I have found favor in your eyes, please put your hand under my thigh and show loving commitment and truth to me. Please do not bury me in Mitzrayim." That's a father's cry right there. So we're going to touch on that. He said, "But I shall lie with my fathers, and you shall take me up out of Mitzrayim and bury me in their burial place." And he said, "I do as you have said." And he said, "Swear to me." Don't just say, "Oh yeah, brother, I'm with you." You better make an oath. If you make the oath, we're going to see, because we're about to change a little time here a little bit. We're going to see right here. But he said, "Swear to me." Don't let it be just words on our lips. If you're going to do the job, do the job. If you ain't going to do it, get out the way. Because look, you're blocking, you're being a stumbling to somebody else, because they're trying to get in there. He bowed himself to the bed. He said, "Swear to me." And Israel, he said, "I swore to him." And Israel bowed himself on the head of the bed. Notice, verse 29, the one thing that man has no control of is time. This is a note. The word time is yom. Yom is the day, whether literally when the sun is hot, the mean to be hot as day, when the warm hours, whether literally from sunrise to sunset, or from sunset to the next. Right, that's the kuf. From sunset up to sundown, and from sundown to the next, it's the rising of the sun. This is what the kuf. This is what it's talking about. Or figuratively, a space of time defined by an associated term. And look, and it goes on. Age, the younger, space. Now go back and read it. Daytime, year, day, 24-hour period. Today, yesterday, tomorrow. Sea and Terra in the ancient Hebrew. The Yod is the picture of the hand representing work, and the Mem is the picture of water. Combine these mean work and water. Well, we know we got that river works. Now, Brother Chad sent me an instant video. I shared with Brother Rob. It's very, I'm going to share, maybe some of you don't hear if you already want it. Talking about how the river's being, why is the river not rising? Why are we losing so much volume of water? It's working, but it just ain't working on your behalf. Because man has tried to put his hand involved and he's trying to control the river. You can't control the river. But they try. And there's a price to pay because of that. Because it's going to do something else. He's either going to work for you or it's going to work against you. The sea, or large body of water, is the place of storm and heavy surf. And the Baton Rouge is closer to the Mem and the Hay. Let's see, J and N, day. I like this morning, because I went and Googled it to make sure I was right on it. It said, if you look at J, the day ends and a new day begins when the sun sets in the west over the Mediterranean Sea. Now, to some of us, that might not seem much. But you know the Mediterranean Sea over there? When it goes to the west, you know where it's shining to? You know who's in the west? We are. You're in the west from the Mediterranean Sea. I had to go double check to make sure I was doing my calculation. And he said, yes, you're in the west. That's why the scripture points to that. He told me, this is not no accident you stumble across it. This is by Yah's design. Because why? Look, the sun goes around in a circuit. It's like the figure eight. The eight has no beginning, no end. That's why one and eight, they start of something and they're the end of something. But it constantly goes. And this is all having to deal with the gematria. So just so you know. In Psalms 90, verse 1, I'm going to try to fly through this because we're getting to the good spot. Yehovah, in Psalm 90, verse 1, you have been our refuge in all generations. I love that. Before the mountains were born, O you had brought forth the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are El. You turn man back to dust and say, return, O children of men. When is he going to say that? Well, if you sleep in the dust, if you don't make it after today and you sleep in the dust, you have to hold the promise that you're going to return. That's what he said. That's a promise. That's what he's talking about. For 1,000 years in your eyes are like yesterday. We said, that's a long time. He said it's like yesterday to him. See, he don't deal with time. That has passed. Or like a watch in the night. You have swept them away. Oh, I don't want to go too far. Y'all going to see it. You have swept them away. They are as a sleep. You have swept them away. They are as sleep. Like grass that spring up in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and springs up. At even it is cut down and withered. For when we have been consumed by your displeasure and by your wrath we are alarmed. You have set our crookednesses before you, our secret sin in the light of your face. For all our days have passed away in your wrath. We spend our years like a whisper. The days of our life, key verse, are 70 years. Now we got some people in here that, yeah, graced them. They passed 70. Let's see what else it says. Or if due to strength, 80 years. We got a couple of men that's past 80 years. They're 81. Due to strength, they strong. And some of y'all that they knock on the door, they're right there with them. Yet, the best of them is but toil and exertion. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Now, I thought that was interesting right there, to go look at that in the Hebrew linguistics. And that was so much in there, so I left it out. I said, I better not touch on that. But anyway, he's talking about, you know, no matter what age, when you expire, when time runs out for you, all what you've done ain't going to be remembered. Y'all remember, you're not going to remember, because our thought process perished. But I'm going to tell you, he sees, everything is recorded. But look, you can get 70, 80 years. Some people live 90. My uncle, I just saw the other day, he made 95. He's up in River Bend. He's 95 years old. I got to stop and see him. But I'll go to show you. Yah's graced us. Whatever years you got, his grace has been favored, been upon your life. But at coming time, it's soon cut off. It's why it puts your life like the grass. It dries up and withers, cut. But the grass, before you know it, summertime coming, going to get your lawnmowers ready, fella. Get that grass, before you know it, you cut it one weekend, the next weekend, I got to cut it again. That's where, there you go. So let's see, this is my 7-inning stretch right here. This is a chance for you to, I'll show you a song that some of you, I know y'all going to know, especially the elderly. Because I want to show you, I thought maybe I can enlarge it. It's called I Fly Away. I just wonder where Albert E. Bundy got his inspiration from. Well, the story goes on, because he's from Oklahoma, and he's working in the cotton fields. All his life, he's toiling, he's working, and he's up in age. And he's saying, well, one day I'm going to get out of here, I'm going to fly away out of here. So he goes into this little story, pull it up. It's very interesting, it's a good song. So I thought maybe I want to show you the first verse and the last verse. So I don't know if, I can't make it bigger. But if you pull it up, you'll see it. So, if y'all want to sing with me, come on. Especially some of the older generation, this is their music. This is in their time. I grew up in the little tail end of it. Well, let's look at the word. He says, some bright morning when this life is over, I'll fly away to that home on God's celestial shores. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away in the morning. What I'm saying is that when I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. Verse 3. Just a few more weary days and then I'll fly away to a land where joy shall never end. I'll fly away. When I came across that, I was like, oh man, I remember that church song. But I know why they were singing it back then. But it still has meaning today, because that's where the foundation where they started. And I started coming along, but thank God for his teaching and his mercy upon us. But this is some of the song we sang. That's why I put it in there. That's why the guy talked about his toil and his labor. He's up in the air. He can't wait to fly away. And look, I got to tell them guys over there, I'm here till I retire, but I'm glad to fly away from that shipyard. Let me tell you. I just want to show you this. Little simple things like that that Yah just remind you of. When he puts that in the word and you can relate back to it. And he's like, thank you. Thank you. How we say that? Todah Yah. Thank you. Y'all did good, by the way. Who knows the power of your displeasure and your wrath according to the fear of you? Teach us to number our days. Teach us to number our days? And let us bring the heart to wisdom. Return, O Yehovah, how long, and be sorry for your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your loving commitment, and let us sing for joy all our days. Hence, we on here Wednesday night. Oh, doors open at 6 o'clock. And what are we doing? We're singing. Because why? We need joy. We lack joy. So, some of you that didn't grab the mic last time, next Wednesday, it'll be your opportunity to grab a mic. Give us joy according to the days you have afflicted us, the years you have seen evil. Reveal your work to your servant and your splendor to their children. And let the plentiness of Yehovah Elohim be upon us, and confirm the work of our hands for us. Oh, confirm the work of our hands. You and I have stuff to do. You're not just here for a free ride. Put your hand under my thigh. And this is something that I was thinking about, Pastor. I was going to use him too. It says, it's a promise, swearing that Yosef will deal truthfully to his father, Israel's dying request, and to his seed or his household after Yaakov's death. That's why he put his hand on his thigh. Because why? That's where the reproductive organ for the male. And that's where the seed goes from the woman. Why? To bring new life. Just let the scripture minister to you. We see this same swearing process in Bereshit 24:2. And Abraham said to the oldest son of his house, who ruled over all that he had. Remember Abraham? He's up in age. He needed a son for his son Isaac. Put your hand under my thigh, tell the son of Eleazar. So what is he doing? He's literally going there. And in Abraham's place, I don't know if he was standing or sitting, but we know in Yaakov's place, he's sitting on the bed. And he tells Yosef, right here, put your hand under my thigh. Why? Because that's all a man has. We make this worldly comment. I'm going to say it right here because it comes to memory. That's all a man has. He kind of brags on his tools, if you know what I'm talking about. And you might have heard that slang before. But, the world takes it for their way. But we know what it really means when it comes to the scripture. But a man says, well, I swear, because that's the only pair I got. You hear people make these comments out there. So I don't, that's not stuff I laugh at. At the time in my life, I did. But that's what you're saying. Make them swear right here. Because why? That's where life begins. That's the way it's designed. He says, so did I make you swear by Yehovah, the Elohim of the heavens, and the Elohim of the earth, that you do not take a wife for my son, for the daughter of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell, but go to my land, to my relatives, and take a wife for my son Yitzhak. And then, verse 9, it says, then the servant put his hand on the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swore to him concerning this matter. I said, I'm going to do it. Once you put your hand to the plow, especially ministers, there's no looking back. But the rest of us, when you said, I do, when you came in here and you tell Yehovah, I'm going to follow you, you're on the same hook. You're on the same hook. Just so you know, there's no backing out. You're going to back out for what you're going to do. Let's look at the Kohath. The preacher, warning. What did the preacher say? In Ecclesiastes 5:1, it says, guard your step when you go to the house of Elohim. Uh-oh. Guard your steps. Everyday walk, not just the, and I'm going to add on this. I'm not adding on to it, but just, let me just comment on his comment. Even when you're outside the house of Elohim, wherever you go, let me tell you, you're walking under his roof. When you walk outside, you're under his house, truthfully. He said, and draw near to listen rather than give to the slaughtering of fools, for they do not know that they do evil. That's why I said they make them silly comments. But I know where it comes from. Do not be hasty with your mouth. This is what the preacher's saying. I'm just repeating. Don't stone me. And let your heart hurry to bring forth a word before Elohim. Let not your heart be in a hurry to bring forth a word before Elohim. For Elohim is in the heavens and you are on the earth. Therefore, let your words be few. Don't give this big old spiel. He don't want to hear that. You know what he want to hear? Yes or no. I will or I won't. I'm in or out. Let your words be few. Because sometimes we say we make promises and we don't feel that, this came up. So, hey, either yes or no. You can tell when a person is here, when they really want to do it or really want to be there, you know. But I'm just telling you, this is a warning from the preacher. He said, for dreams come through the greatness of the task, and a fool's voice is known by his many words. When you make a vow to Elohim, not to this church. You didn't say faith temple right there. He said, when you make a vow to Elohim, do not delay to pay it. He wants his money. I remember sitting along there when he did that video to Ricky. Show me the money. Give me the money. And poor Rick. Boy, y'all pull a good one on Brother Rick. But I'm going to tell you, Elohim says, don't delay in paying your vow to him. You can have fun on the outside. When it comes to him, he's strictly business. For he takes no pleasure in fools. Pay that which you have vowed. Some of us vowed a vow a long time ago. And some of us, they've broken that vow. Shame on us. Shame on me, because I did. And I'm so thankful that he saw past my stupidity and my dumbness. And giving me the opportunity to come back and make it right and rewrite the wrong. That's what we expect. Because why? All we like sheep have gone astray. Thank you. This is why we need this. But he said, but when you make that vow to him, when you come out of that water, that's your vow paying. You say you're going to follow him. He's got that recorded. Why? He says, it's better to not vow than to vow and not pay. Don't say you're going to tell him you're going to do it and you're not going to do it. So you tell him you're going to sing, you're the singer. If you're an instrument player, you play. And whatever part you want to hold, you teach, you teach. Do not allow your what? Your mouth. Because that's where it all stems from. Out of the heart, the mouth's going to speak. It's going to tell on you. So he said, don't let your mouth to cause your flesh to sin. This is what the preacher's saying. Nor say before the messenger of Elohim that it was a mistake. Come on now. It was a mistake. I didn't. You answered too quickly. That's why I tell you, when you get arrested, or maybe just me. And what did he tell you? You got the right to remain what? Fine. There you go. So why? There's no mistake. Because everything now is recorded. They got body cam. So there's no mistake. Well, you said this when you were getting arrested. I said out of anger. You still said it. Why should Elohim be wroth at your voice and destroy the work of your hand? For in much dreaming and many words there is futility, but fear Elohim. So we got to pay attention because our mouth, that's what gets everybody in trouble. Because sometimes, you remember last time I thought that emulation, that balling up gets them, and now we act out of anger? We got to learn to control that. We get out of character. Your wrath doesn't work, show forth his righteousness. Because that's the first thing they're going to say. Well, I thought you was a preacher. Well, I thought you was a this, and I thought you was that. He's watching. The word vow is nadar. It's to promise or do give something to God, to Yah. To make a vow. Ancient Hebrews talk about the vow. And these are all right here. Every one of these verses of scriptures having to do with vow, dealing with vows. That goes to show you, this is no simple subject. This is why I said these last few verses in 47, there's a lot of information. If I had to go through all this, I get the 5-hour card, 6-hour card, yeah. Because this is a lot of stuff. Was that the end? Yeah. That was the end of 47. You know what happened? Because I stopped right there. Because I didn't know how much further we're going to go into chapter 48, because I wasn't expecting to talk about 48 today. So this is all mentioned right here. This is all to do with vows. Genesis 1, this is where it's first mentioned in Genesis 28:20. Let's go read that. This is first mentioned. Genesis 28:20. And Yaakov made a vow, saying, "See, Elohim is with me, and has kept me in this way that I am going, and has given me bread to eat and a garment to put on." You remember Yaakov made that vow? He's speaking to the rock, he pulled the oil in. And Yaakov's a witness. Yaakov made that rock speak. If he tried to get out of his vow, so what he did, he poured oil and he made a vow to Yehovah. And Yah's listening. So this is the first time you see the word vow is mentioned. And it just, there's so many more other verses to go look at. So in chapter 48, this was 47. I just want to show you that this had a lot. And I can't believe I even made it. In verse 48. And Yaakov blessed Abraham, Ephraim, and Manasseh. And this is going to be very good. This had a lot of information. I hadn't tapped into it yet. I started just peeking in, just doing a little peek. Let's see. After these events, after what event? That little last indication he had with his father, when he said, "Swear to me that you're going to be truly and kind to me on my own." We want our last wishes. So that was Yaakov's language. Don't bury me here, but bury me in the cave of Machpelah, where Abraham bought for him and his wife, and Isaac and Rivka for their wife, and now Jacob and Leah are buried there. And it's also said that reason why Abraham wanted it so bad, because I can't prove it, but the sages say now that it's possible that Adam and Eve is buried there. So I don't know. It's possible. That's all I'm going to tell you. And after these events, it came to be that it was said to Joseph, "See, your father is sick." And he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And Yaakov was told, "See, your son Joseph is coming to you." And Israel strengthened himself and sat up on his bed. Let me tell you, he's at a point in his life, he's old, he's 147. He's at the end of his life. But I'm going to tell you, what he says is powerful, because he's going to give commission to each one of his boys. And he's going to let them know what they're going to do. So I'm kind of getting excited when I can jump into this going for next week. So I'm going to shut it down right there. I hope this blessed y'all, what we talked about in 47. My aim was just to close it out and just show you some beautiful stuff in chapter 47 before we close it out toward the end of Yaakov's life. And there's still a whole lot more to go. Let me tell you, just because you're up in age, there's still a lot more life to go. You know, yeah, don't accept me up. Hey, whatever, like my partner said, "Oh, if I live to be 70. Nah, we're not accepting that. Look, if you can go 80, 90, 100, if you grace past 100, man, you're doing good. Share your secrets. Because there's some people that are still out today. They go past 100. So they're going to say that it's not out of Yah's reach. He said, "Is there anything too hard for me?" So I just want to share that with you. Chapter 48, we're going to save that for next, because it's way over my head with all the information. But anyway, I hope you all enjoyed this as much as I did. Let me tell you, that was... There's been, you know, when you got it in you for a couple of days, it just wells up, but you don't want to explode almost. But anyway, I think whatever we got to eat today, and Midrash, my wife and I won't be here. My daughter's from South Carolina, so we're going to visit with her before she leaves back out tomorrow. So Brother Rob's going to take care of the Midrash, and maybe y'all can just glean, go back and look at some of these verses. You know, I'll share it with them if you want to look at them. Look, but, you know, Be careful with our words. The point we got to be careful with. Look, we're in it to win it. He's with you. You know, but making a vow is making a commitment to him. You're not doing it to the church. You're making it to him. Because he's the why. He's the source of life. And without our source of life, the connection that we have, let me tell you, we have to have a connection. That connection is in Yeshua. Because he's the one that, without him, what are we doing? We're wasting our time. So let's remember Papa and them in the hospital today.